This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Chris Webster, who is living his dream through personal training others. Welcome to the show, Chris.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm here.
Well, let's get started by giving our audience a brief background of yourself.
I grew up in Pine Hill over in the Pine Barrens, and then moved over to East Greenwich. I was in good shape all through high school. Eighth grade, I started running cross country and track. And long story short, good shape kept me alive my senior year when I got hit in the face with a 2-ton block of steel, going over a mile a minute, thrown into a 2.5-month coma, followed by one day short of 5 weeks in rehab. It was not fun.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a story there. I'd like to know first, what inspires you?
To be a personal trainer?
Yeah.
What inspires me is the fact that I was in such good shape my senior year when I got hit with the truck, and that's what kept me alive, and hopefully, if something ever happens to anyone else, hopefully someday, maybe I train a million people in the future, one of them gets hit. Gets hurt, gets in a bad accident. Hopefully that'll help him.
What inspired you in high school to get in great shape?
It actually started in eighth grade when my science teacher, Mr. Lynch, pulled me off to the side after class. Thought I was in trouble. Apparently not, for once. And he asked me if I could do cross country. Just try it for a week. If I don't like it, I don't have to do it. Just try it for a week. I said, all right, I'll do it. Tried it, and I loved it, and realized I was really skinny for a 6-foot-tall eighth grader, so should probably get into better shape, start working out a little bit, keep up with the running, just do whatever I can to better my body, better myself.
What kind of events did you compete in?
I competed in cross country and track the whole time. I ran the 5K run over in Swedesboro for Nate Borland. That's about it. I never really competed in too many events besides like with my friends.
Let's fast forward to when the accident occurred. Could you go into more detail into what happened?
Yeah. My friend and I were into urban exploration. Go find abandoned buildings, go exploring through them, maybe later on go have a paintball war or an airsoft war in them with a bunch of people. We were over in... on Commissioner's Pike, there was an abandoned, what was at one point a train station. They tore up the tracks, and now it's not so abandoned anymore. They use it to store farm equipment, because that is all farms. We went in there, then we found out it wasn't so abandoned, so we decided to leave. And about a football field away, when we're taking off, his brakes gave out when we were coming up on a stop sign up at Commissioner's Pike. Long story short, another truck, old Ram 1500 pickup truck, still steel body. Our car was still steel body as well, without airbags. And collided right into us, right on my side. The two vehicles latched, spun around twice, and the truck threw us about 96 feet off up the road and rolled up an embankment. And... don't know how long we were there, and we were all knocked out. We don't know how long we were there until a police officer came off duty and was just driving by and found us.
Wow, that's... well, it's probably a good thing you don't remember.
Yeah, the cows saw it, though.
They had a good show.
Yeah.
Your friend was okay?
Yeah, my friend, he had 6 broken ribs. He had glass in his forehead that later on he still had to get taken out, more so a year later. he was just knocked out, and he and I were both taken to Cooper Trauma Intensive Care Unit. I was flown there by helicopter, most expensive ride of my life, and I can't remember it, great. And he was driven there. 3 days later, he was released from there, homeschooled for the rest of the senior year. Well, no, homeschooled for the next 2 months, and then went back to school. And 2.5 months after the accident, I woke up, first person I ever saw after the accident was him, sitting there at the bed, crying. Not knowing what happened.
So, how was all this received by both your family and your friends?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure your family was extremely worried.
My mom was home, and before Ryan and I took off, my mom said, "Be careful, Chris." My last words to her were, "Mom, I'm not driving. It's okay." Next thing she knows, a police officer, Officer Matt Brenner from East Greenwich, came up. I knew him personally. He heard it on the radio about the accident, went up to my door, told my mom, gave her his number. If you need me, give me a call. I'll give you a ride to the hospital. And she broke into tears, called my dad. My dad's only reaction to that was, at least it's not Crozier.
What's Crozier?
That would be for burns. It was a good thing I was taken to a trauma center for scars than Crozier for being covered in burns. That, honestly, I'm glad. Even though I'm still covered in burns anyway. And so my mom called our pastor from church and had her come pick her up and take her to the hospital. My mom and dad and sister were all there 2 or 3 times a day while I was in the coma for the 2.5 months. My friends, everyone in school, because it was a last-minute announcement to the teachers, the faculty decided to put it over the speaker system throughout the school. Say, please excuse Ryan Graham and Chris Webster from class today. They won't be able to make it. There was a bad accident yesterday. And that's how everyone heard it. Good job, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's not usually the best way to handle those kinds of things.
Well, they didn't hear about it until my mom came in that morning to tell them, yeah, he's not going to be here.
Well, let's move forward to your recovery. You were in the hospital quite a while. I mean, I came to visit you at least twice.
That was over at McGee, right?
No, was it Penn State? Or was it McGee?
No, well, I wasn't in Penn State. I was in Cooper and McGee Rehab.
Is McGee in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's where it was.
That's when they thought they were afraid I was going to run away.
Well, you weren't in much condition to run, let alone walk. Maybe push yourself, although I don't know about that either in the early stages.
My only option there was jump out the window, and I'm not jumping out of an 8-story window. Nope. Not happening.
I would have been surprised. It would have been a miracle if you jumped anywhere, period.
Yeah, that's true.
let's talk more about the recovery period, going through the hospital, and then the steps that took afterwards, including some of the school. I know you had a lot of trouble with school.
School actually got easier after that. Not like it was supposed to get easier senior year halfway through, but I pretty much took school from home, had 4 teachers come see me once or twice a week, tutor me to write my senior paper, write a paper for history class, take my health final, and do math. Like, kind of, like, skimped out on the math, but still passed.
Well, was that when you were still in the hospital, or was that after you got out of the hospital?
No, none of my teachers came to see me. Only one teacher from school came to see me, and that was my cross-country coach that actually got me started into cross-country in the first place. He was later on my high school coach. So he came in to see me, and he brought his daughter in, and literally 7 minutes after he left, nurse comes in and says, "Are you ready to learn how to walk again?" I wanted to yell at her and say, "Nope, not till he gets back here."
So how long were you in the hospital for?
Well, I was in Cooper for about 2.5 months, and I was in McGee 1 day short of 5 weeks. I got out the day before Mother's Day, so it's kind of hard to beat that Mother's Day gift every other year, right?
Chris, why don't you go into what exactly was wrong with you and why you were in the hospital for so long and recovering for so long from the accident?
All right, well, from head to toe, well, first of all, they didn't even know I was in the car at first until they cut off the roof. They knew there was someone driving the car and the truck. They cut off the roof in the car and found me. My seat was the front passenger seat, was pushed into the middle and back seat. So they didn't see me till they cut it off. What I know was a problem was I had 2 pin bleeders in the back of my brain bruising and swelling. I lost 6 teeth. Try eating an apple without 6 teeth. It's not fun.
I probably wouldn't try eating an apple. Maybe applesauce.
No, never again. Let's see. Probably broke my nose because I broke that like 8 other times. Had glass in my eyes. I had my C7 vertebrae in my neck was broken. My collarbone on my right side where I got hit. The 6 ribs on my right side were broken. I had 1 lung was fully collapsed. The other one was 80% collapsed. I still have 1 lung is still 20% collapsed to this day, 3 days later, or 3 years later.
Yeah, get that long right. 3 days.
Yeah, long time. Let's see. I had lacerated liver, severed spleen, broke my fibula, broke my tibia. I know I'm missing something. A lot.
Yeah, I mean, you were pretty broken. Did they expect that you would be able to recover?
The officers that were at the scene didn't. That's why they wrote an 8-page police report. And when I arrived at Cooper, when I was taken off the helicopter, my mom was there by then, and her, my dad, and my sister and brother-in-law were there. Well, not brother-in-law at the time, but my sister's boyfriend, soon-to-be brother-in-law. They saw me being taken off the helicopter and put into the room. They said it was like they put a puddle of person together into what I am now.
Well, it's pretty amazing what you are now, especially seeing you for the first time in quite a while. You were very built.
I was really skinny, and I was still trying to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Never big enough.
So when you finally got out of the hospital, how long did it take for life to go back to being normal?
Well, for about 1.5 years after that, they still had me on what they called divalproic acid, which was to prevent seizures in case that had happened, because obviously I had brain damage, drain damage, whatever, and they didn't know if I was going to have seizures. So they had me taking 2 pills 3 times a day, 6 pills in 1 day, and then after 1.5 years, cut me off right away, withdrawal right there. I went through a withdrawal from Dilaudid, which is not fun. It's like, think heroin times 2.
Oh, wow.
Feels like morphine times 25. It was great, but no. Not worth it.
I would imagine it wouldn't be.
I wasn't able to run again until 1 year later. I wasn't able to work out until around that time. The first time the doctor said that I could do sit-ups, he said I could start out low, start out with 50 at a time. My mom was there holding my feet down, counting for me. I did 50, and the next day I ended up back in Cooper. My gallbladder had burst. A second time. They didn't notice it the first time. That was fun. They didn't notice it the first time because the accident happened. They were worried about everything else. They didn't notice that. But weird thing is, both the times that my gallbladder had burst, the scar tissue from that and my liver healed together. It had burst, and like if you have a scar like that one, if you cut a scar and then cut another scar and hold them together long enough, they'll heal together as one.
Right.
Because it's the same kind of tissue. Well, my gallbladder and liver healed together. They were right up against each other. And that's why they didn't notice it had burst twice. Once the third time it burst, I knew there was a problem. I was working out in my basement at 3:30 in the morning. Insomnia sucks. So I decided to work out. So I had Taco Bell and then worked out. Bad mix. I felt something when I was doing bench press. I felt some weird pressure in my lower abdomen. And I just held it. I'm like, that's weird. Racked the bench, threw on a shirt, grabbed my keys, jumped in the car, drove to Cooper. Half hour drive, got there, waited another half hour. Decided, oh wait, I should kind of call my mom and let her know I'm here, right? Left her a message. Left her a message and my phone died. I didn't know if she got it. Half an hour later, she comes in. Hello? I'm like, hey mom, don't kill me. Then, next thing you know, the nurse comes in and says, alright, we found out what's wrong, your gallbladder burst. Again. And I'm like, what? It can do that? don't you take it out the first time? Well, long story short, again, they didn't know. I've had a bunch of problems from that. I still haven't. Insomnia at night, hard to get to sleep. I gotta take 3 melatonins and a sleepy time tea before I can even think of going to sleep.
Wow.
I have arthritis in my jaw, in my shoulders, in my hip, in my knees, and I actually kind of feel a storm coming in my ribs.
So when you told your family that you wanted to be a personal trainer, what was the reaction to that? And your friends as well.
It didn't really come up that quick. It was more like I was trying different things. They told me not to go to college or anything. Give it a year's rest so I can heal up a little bit first. I mean, before the accident, 3 days before that, I had signed up for the Navy to be a naval battlefield medic. And then they're just like, yeah, no, we're not taking it now. Because I'm a mess.
Well, it's their loss.
Yeah, right? They lost all this. I tried going for EMT school, which I was doing good, except for the fact that I missed 8 classes out of 20 because of emergency room visits for abdominal pain, scar tissue, re-tearing, all that fun stuff. I had been looking around through everything. I wanted to go for, all right, well, if the Navy won't take me, maybe I'll go for Air Force. I mean, if I'm flying a plane, I don't really have to be in top shape. Yeah, no, that's a lie. If I have a scar over 3 inches, I'm going to pop like a balloon. And with this one, that's about, what, a foot long? I'm a blood balloon. So then I just kind of gave up for a little bit. And one day I'm sitting there on the couch and my mom looked at me and said, you know, you're all right now. You got to get up off your butt and start, for use of a better word, get up off your butt and actually start doing something with your life. And I thought about it and couldn't think of anything. Then before my sister's wedding, she had been going to a personal trainer at LA Fitness in Collegeville, PA, Lou. And I went there with her one time because she told him the story about everything that had happened. And she told him that I was working out again and I'm getting in good shape now. And I saw him, I met him, I talked to him. He ran me through a little bit of a workout, light weights, and then I went on the leg press and did 420. And he looked at me and said, wow, you ever think of being a personal trainer? And that's when it hit me that I should go for personal training. And then I signed up for National Personal Training Institute in Philly for a year's class, twice a week for a year, and never looked back on that. That was the best decision I've ever made.
Was there any roadblocks that you hit when it came time to finally be a personal trainer?
Roadblocks. I was hitting roadblocks all the time when it came to class. But I was making up the classes. Whatever classes I missed, I went straight up to make up for them. It was a 500-hour program, but I only needed 400 hours. I still went for the full 500 hours. I went for a year and probably 3 months to get the whole thing, go through the whole thing. And passed it, aced the test, there weren't really many problems at that point.
Well, that's good. Any parts of your dream with the personal training that haven't quite worked out yet for you?
Running. Tried running the other day, and running around a block was kind of hard because I haven't been running for a while, so just got to work on that. Pretty much the only thing with personal training, I got to wait to keep building up clientele. It's going to take time, more and more time. I get paid per client, so I got to just wait it out till I keep building up more clients. Then I start making actually enough to sustain myself. I mean, anything else really with personal training, if you can't do it, then practice it. There's no giving up when it comes to working out or any kind of training. You give up, you already lost 100% of the chances you could have taken.
Do you have any dreams for the future that you want to see fulfilled, whether through personal training or otherwise?
Well, one would be, yes, with personal training, actually go up with personal training. Instead of working at LA Fitness my whole life, maybe work there for a few years. Maybe I will work there my whole life. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to maybe going to Daytona Beach, New York City, LA, where they're doing like all the big photo shoots. So that if they're doing all the big photo shoots, they need someone to train the models and everyone else that's whatever. They need someone to train them, because you don't think a guy goes up there and is that ripped. It takes a while. I mean, they're at like 4% body fat, and it takes a while to get to that. So, I mean, that's where I'd be making big bucks. I can make $300 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I'm aiming for.
Well, it's good to aim high. Before we wrap up, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
Don't give up. And if there's ever any problems come up, look at them as a challenge. Challenges are what get you through life. I mean, it's really all I can say right there.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Chris. I really appreciate it. It's truly an amazing story that it's worked out the way it has.
And it's still getting better. Thank you for having me here, Jeff.
Not a problem. Take care.
Will do.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co. Have you ever wanted to share something with someone just because?
Well, we do a lot. So we started a podcast about, well, whatever we want. My name is Joyce.
And I'm her lovely husband, Al. Well, you know what I mean. Hey, it's me, Al. Listen, I'm hijacking the Just Because podcast to start a new series all about the wonderful world of voice acting. Each episode, I'll have a professional voice actor on and ask them some serious, hard-hitting questions to get to the bottom of this in a world. You know, world. If you've ever wanted to know about the inner workings of this magical and mystical business, tune into Just Because, Inside the VoiceOver Studio. Tune in at justbecausepodcast.com and on iTunes.